my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Alrighty, friends, it is episode 185 of my 1-2-3 cents podcast. Actually, outside at a Stride Pro Wrestling event before the show happens, I am with Stride Pro Wrestling referee and Cape Championship Wrestling general manager Lane Austin. We're going to be talking about Macho Man Randy Savage. This is another super fan episode, but Lane, first, welcome to the show, and how are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, you eased your way back into the reffing gig. You were part of Stride Goes Steel. How did it feel to get back into the ring and start reffing again?
Words cannot describe. It was a great feeling, and I look forward to building my strength back up and doing more, participating more.
And your good friend and buddy, Barry Carafa, was a part of the very first episode of Superfan. He talked, of course, about Rowdy Roddy Piper. You, though, are a Macho Man Randy Savage fan. In fact, you're wearing your Cream of the Crop t-shirt as we speak.
That was not planned. Thank you very much. But yes, he is my favorite of all time, and he's better than Roddy Piper, in my opinion.
So tell me what it is, because you, I don't know that you were a fan at the time of the initial Macho Man expansion, if you will.
Yeah, he started early before I was born, but I remember in the early 90s, I was a huge fan of him. In fact, when the time that Jake the Snake Roberts got the Cobra out and he got bit in the arm, I think I had a nightmare that night. You know? it tore me up.
Is that your first kind of recollection, that era of Randy Savage that you remember?
Yeah, the wedding with him and Miss Elizabeth and him getting bit by the Cobra, those are my first real, when I was about six.
So now, obviously, we have the internet, we have the WWE Network, you can kind of go back and watch and see the evolution of this character. So, obviously, all those pieces kind of fell into place for you to attract you to him. What was it about Macho Man, even back then as a 6-7-year-old, watching him with Jake the Snake and Elizabeth?
I think just his voice got me, the way he inflected his voice. And I can tell that, you know, he was good in the ring. It just, there's so many things you could say about how talented of a wrestler he was, you know. I don't know, like pinpoint, but I just remember the colorful outfits. I remember that being one thing. And, like, really, I liked him better as a bad guy.
Yeah, I would agree.
I liked him better as a bad guy. Like, the older I got, I mean, you didn't see all the time. From a few, you did, but, like, using a little petite woman to protect your... So from pulling in the way, that kind of stuff, it's just, you don't see that.
Yeah, I would say, because, you know, I am obviously older than you, and I can remember watching when he first came to the WWF, and all the bad guy managers were trying to get him come to him. And then, of course, he announces Elizabeth, who, for fans who are from here in Southern Illinois, may remember IWC actually aired and broadcast on WSIL-TV, and Randy Savage himself would come to Southern Illinois and deliver the tapes for those shows, and that's where fans got a look at Randy Savage, of course, Lanny Poffo, Elizabeth, many of those who went on to big superstardom in WWF or WWE now. But I can remember him winning the Intercontinental title and just becoming this spectacle. And I liked him then. Then he, of course, turned good. Hulk Hogan and he formed the Mega Powers, and probably top five, for me at least, storylines of all time, that building up and then implosion of the Mega Powers.
I agree. That was one of the most innovative things in wrestling ever. I think Macho Man gets a lot of crap from how he was in his personal life with Elizabeth and how, like, the jealousy and all that kind of stuff, because that's well known. but it doesn't take away his in-ring abilities.
Right, absolutely.
Like in WrestleMania 5, I think he shows how much, at the time, how much of a better wrestler he was than Hulk, like in the ring, than Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Wasn't bigger than Hulk Hogan ever was, never was.
Right.
But as far as his in-ring ability, you know.
And you look back at those instances, Hulk Hogan, for example, the Ultimate Warrior. You know, two of the biggest icons in wrestling in Hogan and Warrior, and for me, two of my favorite WrestleMania matches. In fact, Savage Warrior is my all-time favorite WrestleMania match. I love it. I know you hated the way it ended, but I think that was probably, without a doubt, Warrior's best match, and without a doubt, it's because of Savage.
Now, I think that shows what kind of a worker and person who loves wrestling, how Macho really was, because to let, you remember how he pinned him?
Yes.
Remember how he pinned him?
Yes.
He stepped on him.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of big names would not let somebody else do that.
Right.
He was okay with that.
Yeah.
So that speaks volumes to me.
Yeah, that's a testament, I think, to the man that Savage was. Of course, the feud also with the Honky Tonk Man, where it kind of solidified the babyface turn for Randy Savage when Hogan came out and made the save. And Elizabeth got physically involved in that one, too. Honky shoves her to the mat, and, you know, justifiably so. When you bring your wife into this kind of situation, you obviously want to make sure she is protected. And, you know, unfortunately, Savage is not here today to tell his side of things and how things went. But we've heard other stories and whatnot. But, you know, I think many of his fears or concerns are justified.
Right. I mean, like, that's the nature of the beast. You bring a pretty woman around, a bunch of guys with those kind of personalities. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
You know?
I was 14 when WrestleMania 4 happened. He won, of course, that four-man tournament, becoming the WWF champion for the very first time. And that was kind of the anointment, the passing of the torch, or so it seemed, as Hogan, you know, awarded him the championship, put him up on his shoulders. What did you think, though, with, because Hogan was obviously always the bigger star, and even after Savage became the champion, and I know you weren't necessarily watching it during this period, but do you think that relationship with Hogan took away from Macho Man Randy Savage kind of being able to get out of under his shadow and excel on his own?
I mean, truthfully, I don't think he ever got out of his shadow. I think the only reason that Vince went with Macho is because Hogan was going to do No Holds Barred.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed somebody else that he thought could, you know, take the company, you know, and run with it, which Macho did a great job,
right? Yeah.
As a champ, that year run was great, but no, I think that he was always number two, and the World Wrestling Federation was built around Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Of course, also prior to that, the outstanding match with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat at WrestleMania 3, still 30-plus years later, has stood the test of time, and still one of many fans' favorite matches.
Yes, that's one of my top ones, too. So innovative for that time. A lot of people don't like it, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But that was, for the time, that was the match of WrestleMania 3, to me, the best match.
Yeah.
Bar none.
I liked the way that Savage worked when he first came in. He had Elizabeth. You mentioned hiding behind her. And I remember one night, this had to have been in 1986 or so, he was defending the Intercontinental title against Jake the Snake Roberts. And Jake was still a bad guy. But it starts off, it's this rare bad guy versus bad guy Saturday night's main event match. And Savage starts off, you know, pulling Elizabeth. And Jake, of course, got the cheers. And, you know, it led many years later, as you mentioned off the top, what kind of attracted you to Savage in the first place was that incident with the Snake. After he won the championship, you know, in 92, or, you know, in 92, 91, late 91, and then into 92, when he kind of got reinstated and was back in and was wrestling again full time, you were obviously all in by that point. When he beat Ric Flair, I would imagine that was a big moment for you.
Actually, yeah, that's one of my favorite matches also, WrestleMania 8,
mm-hmm.
You know, Ric Flair. One of my favorites, two of my favorites of all time, you know. So, I think no one ever talks about it, and I understand why, but like when he became Macho King after WrestleMania 5, I think Vince kind of crapped on him a little bit, you know. He went from main event in WrestleMania 5 to a mixed tag team match with Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire, and, you know, in Sensational Sherry's.
Yeah.
And then they lost that. I mean,
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was actually going to be something I kind of was mentally preparing to do this show. And, you know, WrestleMania 2, he wrestled George the Animal Steel. It was kind of a whatever kind of match. WrestleMania 3, of course, was that fantastic show with Ricky Steamboat. 4, he wrestles 4 guys, becomes the WWF champion. 5, it's another stellar match with Hogan. Even though he loses, he still looks strong in defeat.
Right.
And then WrestleMania 6, and I liked the Macho King and Queen gimmick with he and Sherry.
Loved
but
it
kind of got so convoluted by the time we got to WrestleMania 6, and the fact that, you know, let's face facts. I think Sensational Sherry is probably, if not the most, one of the most underrated female wrestlers, and just in general, ring talents, wrestling talents in the history of the business.
And might I add, she's quite beautiful, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to take anything away from Sapphire, and I get that sometimes, you know, this is kind of the pot calling the kettle black. You throw in a non-wrestler into one of these matches, and of course, many times the non-wrestler wins by whatever means. And it was a nice little thing to bring Elizabeth out and whatnot. But I just feel like, yeah, I would have almost rather seen that be Dusty versus Savage in a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah, me too.
So, you know, WrestleMania 7, we talked about Warrior and Savage. WrestleMania 8, he wins the championship. WrestleMania 9, though, he sits out and is doing color commentary in Las Vegas. Now, as a Savage fan, and I was a Savage fan at this point as well, I was disappointed. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
I feel like there was still a lot, you know.
He still had a lot to give. He proved that in WCW.
Yeah, well, and there was this transition going on where you had Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon, and these guys are kind of starting to get a push. It's a younger push of talent. But, you know, back then, Randy Savage was, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I'm guessing he was in his late 30s by this point, which AJ Styles is 41 years old right now, and he's the WWE champion. So, obviously, Savage still had plenty more to give, and we'll get to that in WCW in just a moment. But as a fan, you had to be disappointed, too, to kind of see him on the sidelines, so to speak, calling matches instead of actually being in there and wrestling.
Yep, and that's, you find out later, that's the reason he left. He was loyal. He didn't want to leave WWF, but he wanted to work. He wanted to actually wrestle. He didn't want to commentate.
Yeah, went on to WrestleMania 10, wrestled Crush in that Falls Count Anywhere match.
That's a good match, too, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I like it.
It was a creative, it was a good way to end that, and it was a little bit before its time, too, because ECW was kind of starting to rise and whatnot, but yeah, they went pretty intense in that.
They hung him upside down to win it, you know.
Yeah. You know, Randy Savage then jumped ship. Hogan is already in WCW, pardon me. I think he either had just won or was about to win the championship, and then Randy Savage comes over. What were your thoughts, though, of the WCW version of Macho Man versus the WWE, WWF version?
I mean, I think more that in his time that was more about, I mean, he always loved what he was doing, but I think that, like, more money.
Mm-hmm.
More money was the issue then, but like he did what everybody else did, join the NWO, but he got to put some people over.
You know,
like Diamond Dallas Page had that feud of the year that they said, I think it was 96 or 97.
Yeah.
So I mean, like he got to help a lot of people, but I mean he still got to do what he loved. And then when he got to that point where he could not work anymore after those surgeries, he was more gimmicky. You know,
mm-hmm.
he had the whole all the girls, you know, the three girls that walked out there with him, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So.
What would you say? What were you a bigger fan of, his WWF time or his time in WCW?
Oh God, WWF.
Yeah.
By far.
I think probably one of the biggest. I don't want to call it a travesty, but for lack of a better word, and trying to think of it, the fact that you know he posthumously went into the WWE Hall of Fame. It was 5 or 6 years after. He passed away, that Vince McMahon and WWE and whoever makes those decisions finally decide to put him in way past overdue.
Yes.
And he should have been there to accept and go in on his own accord.
I completely agree, but I mean, like, still to this day, there are other wrestlers that are in the same position.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, if Vince could reconcile with Bret Hart, you know, why not? You know, it was just, he passed away.
Obviously, or definitely, I think, I always like to think and imagine what could have been, what would have been, for example, had Randy Savage lived. And I know that he had been strained with WWE, and I think Triple H has done a great job with Ultimate Warrior, Bruno Sammartino, some of these other guys that had had a strained relationship of bridging that gap. I have no doubt that something would have, perhaps a deal may have been brokered earlier on in those days. I wonder, though, what Savage, if he were still with us today, obviously would have something to contribute. What do you think, Macho Man Randy Savage, that this younger generation of superstars and wrestlers, even here on the indie scene, what could they take away, do you think, from a guy like Randy Savage?
I mean, the dedication. I mean, like, he wanted to please the people. Like, he's one of the most dedicated wrestlers, I believe, that I've ever seen. He wanted to be good at everything he did. You know, if you could do half of what Macho did in this business, you'd be pretty, you know, pretty dang successful. He'd have a lot. You know, now, he wasn't the best at forgiving people. So, I mean, he went to his death with a lot of grudges. Yeah. With a lot of grudges. So, yeah. I mean, who knows what happened? People change.
Yeah.
He could have got past that and, you know, he could have did some writing for the WWE.
Yeah.
He could have done anything, you know. We'll never know.
And you make a great point. People change. And that's the other thing, the takeaway, I think, from the life and times of Macho Man Randy Savage is, you never know when your time is up. You know, he was out for a drive with his wife, had a heart attack and died behind the wheel, was gone in an instant. So, you know, those grudges, those hard feelings, try to work those things out. And I'm not trying to turn this into a whole nother podcast, but you do have a lot of positivity that you post and you talk about. And I know that you've had a rough go at times with your own health and whatnot. So what is it that keeps you positive and wanting to spread positivity to others, do you think?
I mean, like, the greatest way that I've found in the last 5 years to help myself is to help other people. And I think when you can help people, when you're going through your own storm, that is the true definition of integrity. It takes your mind off how bad you've got it. You know, like, am I the first person to ever go through a medical scare? No.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the first person to, you know, to ever deal with this kind of stuff? No. But, you know, I can't. I went through that stage a couple months, woe is me and all that stuff. And that's just not me. You know, people, you know, you figure out that the people that give you crap about being positive and stuff are the people that... They have their own stuff they're dealing with.
Sure.
That's just projection. They project it onto you, and that's okay. God bless them. God bless them.
Absolutely. So, Lane, as we kind of start to wrap things up, because we do have a stride show to get to here, but top moment, match, memory, give me a couple or whatever comes to your mind when you think of the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Of course. I mean, I hate to be like a lot of other people, but WrestleMania 3.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 3. Like I've mentioned, I just think for the time it was one of the most innovative matches. And I have to give to you, WrestleMania 7 with him and Warrior is a great match. I don't like how anybody takes five finishers and gets up from it, but, you know,
right.
So be it. But yeah, that and the feud he had with Jake the Snake. I remember that. That was one of the first ones. I remember that.
It's funny to me, and I say funny not like ha ha ha, but you know that is one of your first memories, and I talked about it. There's obviously an age gap here, and my first memories of Savage was first reading about him in the After magazines because where I lived, I didn't get IWC at the time, and I didn't get Mid-South or Memphis where he was actually wrestling, and he had that. I believe it was an empty arena match against Jerry Lawler, and I didn't know him other than through the magazine. So when I first saw him on TV, it was literally when he showed up on Superstars of Wrestling with the WWF, and Freddie Blassie and Bobby Heenan and Mr. Fuji are all vying to get his services. And I'm like, okay, what is the big deal about this guy? And he quickly...
And then you see.
Yeah, he quickly took the world by storm. And, you know, obviously Lane's favorite. I would definitely put him in a top 10, no doubt, of all-time greats in the world of professional wrestling, Lane.
And here's a little fun fact, by the way, where CCW puts their show on in Cape Girardeau at the AC Brazzers Arena. Macho and his father used to run shows out of there.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was 79, 80, and 81. So the fact that, you know, I'm in the same building, I get to go to the same building that he was at is awesome, in my opinion.
That is amazing. And also, I want to dispel a rumor. Macho Man Randy Savage, despite the fact that his face is on the mural over at McAllister's in Carbondale, Illinois, with other notable Southern Illinois University alumni. Macho Man Randy Savage never attended Southern Illinois University. I actually talked to, on the phone, with Leaping Lanny Poffa, who, of course, is Randy Savage's brother. SIU Alumni Association actually contacted me to ask about this because they know I'm a big wrestling fan. I talked to Lanny Poffa. Savage is not an alum, but it's cool to see him up there on that mural and kind of adding a little bit to the culture here in Southern Illinois, even though he technically didn't attend school here. Lane, any other last thoughts about Savage or your life going back and going straight forward now with not only Stride Pro Wrestling but also Cape Championship Wrestling? I know you're a busy dude.
No, man, not too much. I think we pretty covered it all, but you know, I'm glad you asked me to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to be back in that ring. It makes me, words can't put, you know, I can't put into words what it makes me feel like, but you know, just... ooh, yeah.
I was going to say, I got to get a Macho Man impression. Come on, give me more than an ooh, yeah. You can do more
ooh,
than that.
Ooh, yeah. Dig it.
All righty. Fans, once again, Lane Austin, Stride Pro Wrestling, Cape Championship Wrestling. Be sure I'll have the links to those companies on the write-up here. Thanks again, everyone, for listening to My 123 Cents, the podcast. Have a great week, and let me know who you'd like to hear on a future episode of Superfan.
Going for the sleeper hold.
There it is. He's got it on. But right near the ropes is the Macho Man. Oh, look out. Here comes the Hulkster.
Oh.
Oh, and he clobbered him in. Dollar Man. Down he went. The referee did not see it.
That's terrible, Monsu. I can't believe Hogan would stoop to that level.
DiBiase is out cold. Savage looking around. Doesn't know. Now he's going to the outside.
Cannot believe Hogan would stoop to that. Oh!
The flying elbow! Hooks the leg! It's over! We have a new champion! It's Bedlam here! It's pandemonium!
A taken victory, though, Monsu!
And undisputed World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Champion!
You know, Ted DiBiase, I gotta say, was robbed because he had that sleeper hold on the Macho Man. He had it sunk in. Hogan coming into the ring and hitting him with a chair. I can't believe Hogan would do that in front of all the Hulkamaniacs worldwide.
Well, Jazz Andre interfered early on in the match. It took the Macho Man's intellect to send Elizabeth back, and look at the tears coming down the face of the First Lady of Professional Wrestling, Elizabeth. And look at that man. What intestinal fortitude. This is Macho Man's finest hour.
Well, I'll give it to him. You win anywhere you can. He's now the champion of the world.
An unprecedented four victories here in this elimination tournament, and now he is in fact the undisputed World Wrestling Federation champion. Look at the tears of joy coming down the face of Elizabeth. What a threesome, Jess. Macho Madness, Hulkamania, and the lovely Elizabeth.
I'll tell you, Gorilla, my adrenaline's pumped up so much, I feel like coming out of retirement.
Macho Man handing the gold to Elizabeth. They have worked long and hard for this and deserve it. And deserve it as the Macho Man, Randy Savage, has paid his homage to Elizabeth and given her the respect that she so rightly deserves. Now she's hoisted up on his shoulder with the gold. And the Hulkster saying, this is what it's all about. this is the moment that everyone's been waiting for.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.